Guys, it's time for the Boston Celtics, their 2019-20 season in review. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. As I said, we're looking at the Boston Celtics today. A team with a ton of intrigue, a team that would have hoped to do a little bit better, I would imagine, in the NBA playoffs this year, but still got themselves to the conference finals. Lots of talk about young players to look at. So Before we talk about those players, questions, because you asking these questions is one of my favorite parts of this show, and always going to hit all the questions from the Discord server. So if you are a Patreon subscriber, get the link to the Discord over there. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/redrock_beeble. I will be turning part of the Discord public at some point before the new season, so look out for that. But there's still always going to be a private and extra private part and extra services for the Patreon subscribers over there. So let's crack into those questions. Kano says, what can we expect from Vanilla Tice next season? Improved play? What about his ADP? Well, Daniel Tice, obviously a really important player for this Celtics team. He was the 110th ranked player this last season. But he is going to be 29 in this last season, in this next season. He only played 24 minutes a night. That can obviously improve. We saw him play 28 minutes a night in the playoffs. And even in the seeding games, he was up to 26 minutes a night. So it's not an unreasonable expectation to think that Tice, at age 28, for one more year, could play an extra 1 or 2 minutes and get into the top 100. The problem you have there, now I think Tice is really, really good and super important, and everyone talks about the Celtics. They need a center upgrade. Tice is almost perfect for what they do. They don't need this big center who's going to take shots away from everyone else and is going to be an offensive threat and is going to struggle in defense. Tice can move the ball. He sets screens. He plays really good defense. Sure, they can use some sort of an improvement there, but Tice is pretty solid. I guess the question you're going to have is how much of a jump does the Rock DJ Rob Williams take next season? Does he start cutting into Tice's playing time? But give Tice 26 minutes, give Williams 22 minutes. There you go. Like, there is still room for both of those guys to improve. Now, of course, there's Grant Williams as well, who played quite a bit at center, played center in the playoffs. He's going to get some minutes. He's probably more of a four, but he can play some five. There is still room for Tice to improve. I wouldn't imagine that his improvement is a long-term scenario. Maybe it is just for 1 year, but I was super impressed with what he did this season. And I think he can be around that back-end area of drafts, but not really a super high upside player. Dazza. 006, does Gordon Hayward return next season for one last crack at the title, or is this the best use of Boston's cap going forward? Well, it's not really Boston's choice outside of a trade, because Hayward does have a monster player option, $34 million. I see no scenario in which he opts out of that. Given the limited cap space that teams do have this offseason, next season there's a lot more cap space, a lot more teams looking to grab guys, so maybe Hayward gets in there. I imagine he picks that up. He's back on the team. I don't think that Boston necessarily... Now, a lot of people, Danny Ainge is going to be trading everyone, making big moves. I don't really expect Ainge and the Celtics to be making huge runs at things. They lost to Miami in, Game 6 of the conference finals? Or was it? I can't remember. It might have even been Game 7. But they were really close to getting into the NBA finals. So it's not like we're talking about a team that is struggling, that is so far away. There are improvements that they can make to, and if things break right, they could easily find themselves in the NBA Finals and pushing for a championship just through internal improvement alone. So I don't think there's going to be big swings and big misses, and Hayward should be able to be a contributor. Remember, he missed big chunks of that bubble with an ankle injury, so he wasn't really at his best coming back. He only played five playoff games in 31 minutes a night. B-Dub says... Oh, no, it's just a reply to someone else. Excuse me. Batcan NZ. Batcat NZ, sorry. Robert Williams, what to expect next season? Well, the Rock DJ, people love this bloke. I think he's got a huge amount of upside. There are obvious concerns with some of his defensive ability. He blocks shots, but he's a bad defender. Only played 13 minutes a night during the season, only played 29 games. But the thing that gets you intrigued is 1.2 blocks in those 13 minutes and 73% shooting. Like, that's obviously ridiculously good. We saw him play only 12 minutes a night in the playoffs, in the seeding games. He played 11 minutes a night. That's sort of what his role was. I said earlier, maybe he could push to 22 minutes. That might be pushing it a little bit too far, but I could see him getting to a 17 or 18 minute a night role. He could block 1.5 to 1.8 shots in that time pretty easily, have good field goal percentage, and actually be a standard league relevant player. And I think that you know my theory that when you're doing drafts and you're at round 13, round 12, take a flyer on someone. There's no point taking a Dario Saric or a JJ Redick, someone whose value is never going to exceed the top 120. You take Williams there, and if by some reason they play him 22 minutes a night, he averages 10 and 8 with 2.5 blocks, then you've smashed that value. And if he plays 10 minutes a night, you piss him off. So I think that's sort of where he goes. He heads into his third year. He's 23 years of age. The advanced numbers for Rob Williams were pretty strong, and I think they're only going to continue to improve. It's some of the defensive stuff is the problem, but we just hope for that improvement from him to be a field goal percentage block guy with some rebounds and a guy that can score a little bit, and we just need some extra minutes for him. And it is a really big question about what the Celtics are going to do with Williams moving forward. Mr. Black goes to the other Williams. What can we expect from Grant Williams long-term? What's his dynasty value? I like Grant Williams a lot. I think that he can be a player that really has an impact on winning. He's not 22 yet at this point. He, in 15 minutes, averaged half a steal, half a block. So you're looking at a guy that can perhaps be a triple one player. Shot the three ball horribly to begin the year, but did come on at the end of the season and started to hit it relatively consistently. In fact, hit 59% of his threes in the playoffs. That's obviously really limited attempts. It's just one per game. But still, it's one per game at that amount. And it just shows that, I think he missed his first 30 threes or something in the NBA. He was able to get that turned around. He can pass. He can defend really, really well. He's never going to... Look, absolute best case scenario is Paul Millsap, but he's almost no chance to get there. But his ability to defend, to pass, to score, and if he brings on the shooting, there is still something there. It is a few years away, and I'm still valuing him as a guy that potentially has a couple of top 100 fantasy seasons at some point in his career. It's a long way away, and it may never get there. It's probably a 10% chance of happening, but some blokes in that area don't even have a 10% chance of that happening. So I do like Grant Williams. I think that they would love for him at some point to be able to get a spot in the starting lineup. Maybe that is after Gordon Hayward leaves in free agency after this next season, and they can push him into that area, play some small ball five. And I think he can become a real weapon, but it is a few years away from that happening. And then Mr. Black also says, can Jaylen Brown get into the top 35? Well, Brown took a big leap forward this year. I didn't really expect him to be as good as he was. He was the 62nd ranked player. He'd never been a top 100 guy. He did that by averaging 20 points per game. That was his best fantasy category. He also got his steal numbers up, and he was able to improve his efficiency. Two things. The efficiency and the steals were always bad for him. He got up to 48 from the field and 72 from the line. Now, 72 from the line's not great, but it's much better than where he was. And in the playoffs, in fact, he was an 84% free throw shooter. So that's the difference. Can Jaylen maintain this high-level scoring and usage with the improved efficiency? He had a true shooting of 59 in the playoffs, shooting 36% from three. That's the key for Jaylen Brown, is being able to maintain that high-level efficiency while also improving his rebounding, which he did this season, getting it up to 6 per game. He's never going to be a high-assist player. He's probably never going to be a volume scorer along the lines of Tatum, but 24 usage, 20 points per game, 1.2 steals on strong efficiency. If you just take that 72 free throw and make it 82, then he probably is a top 40 player to get to the top 35. I wouldn't put my money on him being a top 35 player. That's requiring a couple of things to go right, but I think that he can still be, I think he'll have top 50 seasons if his trajectory continues the way that it has this year. And then Matt Lawson gives us our Celtics Dynasty ADPs. Jason Tatum at 9. Do I buy that? Probably. Jaylen Brown at 45. I'll buy that. Kemba Walker at 63. I will sell that. I think Kemba's decline is going to be pretty aggressive over the coming years. Marcus Smart, ADP at 86. Well, he was the 64th ranked player this year. I'll buy that at 86, no worries. Gordon Hayward at 96. He was the 50th ranked player this year. Yes, he's going to turn 31 next season, but that's a real big discount at 96. Tice at 137, I think maybe you get 1 year where he beats that number, so I'm not massively into that. Rob Williams at 186, I'll buy that every day of the week. Rob Williams was better than that this year. He was 183rd ranked player, so I'll buy that 100 times over, as I will Grant Williams at 202. Enes Kanter at 251, no interest in Enes Kanter. His career is winding down. Romeo Langford at 259. Langford was the worst fantasy player on this team, the 478th ranked player. I don't have high hopes for him, but I do believe he'll beat that number. Carson Edwards at 290, absolutely no interest. I'm not even sure he's an NBA caliber player. Wanamaker at 309, you'll get a year where he beats that number, most likely, so maybe. And Taco Fall, 348th. He's just not an NBA caliber rotation player, so I wouldn't get too hung up on Taco Fall, even though, of course, the memes would tell you otherwise. Guys, Built Bar, you know what it is. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. You didn't scrape this sort of shit off the bottom of your shoe like the way other protein bars taste. This tastes just like a candy bar. Why wouldn't you want to do something good for your body, help you lose or maintain your body weight, and get a delicious treat at the same time? Built Bar is back, not just with their original 12 flavors, but six new guys: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That joins the stable of the 12 OGs: coconut almond, raspberry, mint brownie, etc. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose that weight, as I said, because they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. The new bar, the coconut almond, 18 grams of protein with 180 calories only, and just 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. If you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So the promo code is LOCKEDON, gets you 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, let's go into some other questions now. You guys have them for us over on Instagram. Jason, Arjunum. Geez, reading Instagram names is a real struggle. Jason Tatum, could he jump to the second round? Yeah, he was already a second round this year. There's absolutely zero chance he is getting out of the second round. There's zero chance he's getting out of the top 15 in a draft, to be honest. Logs 16-20, even if Kemba is healthy next season, do I see a further decrease? Well, that's the question, isn't it? Is he healthy? He's 30 years of age. He played 31 minutes a night. I think there's going to be problems with his knee for the rest of his career, to be honest. Would I expect a drop from the 27% usage, 20 points per game? Yeah, I could see it. 26 usage, maybe 25 usage. Jaylen Brown absorbs a little bit more. Kemba averages 19 points. The other thing Kemba can improve upon is he averaged under 5 assists per game. So that could go up to 6. There is going to be decline for Walker. That's what happens when you've got persistent knee problems and you're over 30. But I wouldn't expect a huge drop-off for this next season. I reckon it could get a little bit worrisome in the years to come after that. Michael Bowles says, how was Smart's field goal percentage trending? Is it going to be above 40% next year? Well, he was at 38 this year, which is obviously not great. But he's not that bad of a shooter, I don't think. He takes some ill-advised shots. His shot selection is rough at times. Last year, he was at 42%, the only year he'd been above 40% shooting. So there is scope for him to get back to that. I think he can be a low 40s guy for next season. Benji Smith, should they shoot for DeMarcus Cousins? Remember DeMarcus Cousins? I heard his name on a podcast the other day and I thought, shit, I hadn't thought about this bloke in years. He was unbelievable. First round player, top 10 player. Tore his Achilles, and then we just haven't heard from him for 2 years. You know, with the Warriors, have then had the quad problem, then tore his ACL last year. Who knows what we're going to get out of DeMarcus Cousins? I definitely wouldn't be investing anything higher than a top 80 pick on him in a draft in terms of fantasy value. I'm not sure he's what they need. In fact, I'm pretty positive he isn't what they need, given his lack of defensive ability, the fact that his busted ass legs are in real trouble, he's older. And Tice fits what they need perfectly, and I don't think the Cousins necessarily does. Let's have a look. Ben Mrauka, do you see Kemba around the 31 minutes per game again next season? Yeah, probably. I don't really see them pushing him too much further than that. I guess it's going to depend on the quality of their backups as well. But if Brad Wanamaker's back, who's a restricted free agent, yeah, sure. He is reliable enough to have there as a backup. All right. Carl Svavar, 15. Which Williams will be better for 9-cat fantasy? I would have to say it's Rob Williams because of that high field goal percentage and high block numbers. Like, he's got that really the upper hand. Better player, I could see Grant Williams being it. But if they play equal minutes, Rob Williams has the better path to being a better fantasy player. All right, let's have a look at what the next bunch of questions are. Let's have a look. Because that comes in via the old Bird app, via Twitter. Danny R. If the Celts were to play the Heat again in a series starting tomorrow, who would win? He says, since we gained knowledge of how to beat the Heat, I'm guessing he's a Celtics fan, and wouldn't start in an 0-2 hole, it would be competitive. Point is, maybe we don't need huge center improvement. Danny, that's exactly what I've been saying. I'm not sure they need huge improvements with this team. There's a lot of internal improvement to come. I think that that series could easily go either way, and I don't think the Celtics need to blow it up or anything along those lines. Joey Angus, should they start Rob Williams off the bat next season to give him the time he needs to develop, let Tice keep the starting job? Yeah, I would just be going in with Daniel Tice as the starter, maybe give a few extra minutes to Rob Williams and see if he earns that job down the stretch, but I wouldn't just be handing it to him at this point. Tim Martin says, the dynasty future for Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, Carson Edwards. Is it worth drafting any of them if they won't do much next year? Edwards, forget about. Langford, maybe he finds a role. I don't find his fantasy game all that appealing. He can be a really strong NBA defender, but the shot is just so far off that we need more than that, and he's just not a guy that gets those peripheral numbers very well. Yeah, Williams, I think, is the best of that bunch pretty clearly. How many of the 2019 draft picks is from the past are on the 2021 opening day roster? I think you're going to have Waters, Williams, no problem. They'll be there. Edwards, I'm not certain about. So I would say, yeah, I'd say you've got looking at Langford, you're looking at Waters, you're looking at Williams. They all should be there for next season. Carson Edwards, I am not convinced, will be on that roster opening day next season. Let's just go with one more question. Yezra says, any chance Tatum cracks the top 10 this season? And that's something people are going to want to know. So let's get into that now. Now, Tatum was the 19th ranked player this year. He averaged 24.5 with 3.5 assists. And people will point to... Well, let's have a look what he did. In the playoffs, he was the 12th ranked player through the playoffs. In the bubble seeding games, he was the 14th ranked player. But people are going to point to, well, that he had that stretch around the All-Star break until the season shut down where he was killing it. And he was. He was the 10th ranked player in that point. He played 36 minutes a night and he had a 31% usage. It's important to note that in that time, Kemba Walker played 9 of the 17 games. Jaylen Brown played 12 of the 17 games that I'm looking at. And Gordon Hayward missed a couple as well. Mainly, it was the Kemba scenario where Kemba was missing a lot of those games, and that did help inflate Tatum's numbers. He averaged 29 points per game, hit 4 threes, and shot 46% from 3. So all of those things came together. He played a lot of minutes, he had a ton of usage, and he hit almost half of his threes. And those three things probably won't all join together. He got 1.5 steals, 7.5 boards, 1.1 blocks. That could all continue, no problem at all. But it's expecting 29 a game on 46% shooting from three, that's probably a little bit unrealistic. Now, on the flip side of that, he only shot 76% from the line. So that number could actually improve. So is he top 10? Where does he take that next step? There is a real possibility, and he's not getting outside the top 15 in drafts. I don't think I'd want to draft him inside the top 10 because you're drafting him at that level expecting almost best case scenario. And maybe he beats it. Yeah, maybe there's a 40% chance that he beats it, but that means there's a 60% chance he doesn't. And you're not going to lose too much value by taking him there, but I still don't think that's probably the best. I don't think it's probably the best investment of a top 10 pick at this point, given that he had this real best run of his career and he was still just 10th in that point. And that's without Kevin Durant, without Steph Curry being in the league and putting up their numbers around that time also. So, and again, he's playing without Kemba Walker at that area. So I think that there's room for it for sure. Is it a likely outcome? I would be a little bit doubtful of that, unfortunately. Guys, it's awkward. It can be awkward. It can be embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually men will blame themselves. They'll brush it off. Man, it's a hard day at work. I'm just tired. I'm stressed. I haven't had my Built Bar. Whatever it is, guys, we'll brush off erectile dysfunction, but it is a medical condition. You're not to blame. Work's not to blame. It's a medical condition and there are medical treatments available. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free 2-day shipping. I used to be a pharmacist. This medicine works, guys. I'm telling you now, this stuff actually works. Getting started is simple. Go to getroman.com/lockedon and complete an online visit. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. Okay, let's now talk about these players in a bit more detail, and we are going to start with Jason Tatum. We've talked a bit about Tatum already, who was the 19th ranked player this year, real breakout year. I was wrong on him. Yahoo had his rank at the beginning of the season at 37th, which is the start of the fourth round. I thought maybe he'd be in that 45 to 55 type range. I didn't expect the big jump that we saw, given what we'd seen from Tatum the year before. And I thought, you know, the return of a bigger role for Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker coming in. I didn't think that Tatum would establish himself as the clear best player on this team and take this big step forward. And I was wrong on that. He averaged 23 points in 34 minutes, 7 rebounds, 1.5 steals, and a block. He did almost all of the things that I've talked about Tatum when he was drafted. He's average in every category, like good average rebounds, average assists, above average steals, which was good, average blocks, average field goal percentage, average free throw percentage. And I said what he needed to do to become elite was become a 25, 26 point per game scorer. And he hadn't shown that before. Well, he absolutely showed it this year. And he took that category from average to well above average, same as his three-pointers. 40% three-point shooter, and got the volume way up as well, which is one of the problems he had in his second year too. So a genuine star at this point, Jason Tatum is 22 years of age, and there's still scope for him to improve. But I think we do need to be a little bit careful about, you know, putting too much in terms of expectation on him. He's going to be awesome, and he probably will be a top 10 player in the next couple of years. Getting to top 5 might be tough for Tatum, and he's all, look, over the next 7 years, if he falls out of the top 15, I'd be pretty surprised. But, you know, there is that, it's top 15 or top 5. There is that difference there. Are you Jimmy Butler type fantasy player, or are you Steph Curry, Karl Anthony Towns? Like, that's the gap, and that gap can sometimes be pretty large. So making that leap is often quite difficult to get into that rarefied air. Are you Damian Lillard? Well, he's not a great example because he jumped up, you know, a lot this year, although I think that's a little bit of a mirage. Is he Bradley Beal, that 7 to 10 guy, rather than the 1 to 5 guy? So there is a step to get up to that next level, and we'll have to see whether Tatum can get there. And can he take another category outside of scoring into the elite territory? Can he average, you know, can he shoot 50 from the field? That would help him. Can he be a guy that gets it 30 points per game? That would obviously help him. He's got to take one of those things really to the next level to get to that area. And it's not saying that's impossible, because it's clearly very, very much in his scope. His PIPM and Raptor were absolutely monsters. 0.5 point plus 5.5 Raptor and 4.45 PIPM. Next guy we look at is Kemba Walker. His ADP was unbelievably stupid at the beginning of the year. It was 18. There was no way he was ever going to have that number. I think I had him in the 30s or 40s, and I think he ended up actually going worse than I expected. 46th ranked player this year, 31 minutes a night. He still averaged 20 points, but those assists fell way off. And remember that thing we talked about with Kemba, or maybe his usage goes down, but heading to Boston, you know, his efficiency will rise because, you know, less attention on him. His assists will go up because there's more players to pass to, and that just wasn't the case. Just under 43% from the field, 38 from three. He saw that usage fall down, and that's what impacted his numbers. And that was, I guess, relatively easy to see. But as I say this all the time, we always talk about this. Well, now they're playing with better players, their efficiency is going to go through the roof. And it doesn't really work out that way. And we always have to remember that when players change teams, that doesn't always, it's not always the case. It's, yeah, poor efficiency is not always due to the fact that you are the only player on your team creating shots. Sometimes it's just who you are as a player. Kemba, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 0.9 steals. Never a high steals guy, and losing those assists did hurt. And he is going to be less than a 20-point per game scorer either next season or the year after that. And then his value is going to fall off. I'm pretty confident of that. It's going to look, his numbers were, even though we were disappointed with his playoff performances, plus 4.7 Raptor is massive. 58 true shooting is great. 2 plus PIPM, they're really, really good numbers. I think the fall off for him is going to happen in 2 years' time, a little bit next year, and then there might be a significant decline after that. So if you do have him in a dynasty league, just be aware that that's sort of how I see it going with Kemba. Gordy Hayward, the 50th ranked player. A big bounce back for Hayward, and he did get injured, we know that. But played 34 minutes, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Not much in terms of defensive numbers, but hyper efficient. 38 from the field, 50, sorry, 38 from three, 50 from the field, 86 from the line. Really, really strong numbers from Haywood. He was a positive PRPM and Raptor guy, a 60 true shooting. These are really strong numbers, but he's never going to go back to that high usage role he had in Utah. The assist probably won't go back to that same level. And again, I don't imagine that he gets traded. Him and Kemba are the same age, which I think some people would be a little bit surprised at. No reason to think that Haywood can't be in that 50 to 70 range again this season. Yeah, his 21 usage is not a high number. 34 minutes is not that high. 17 points, 7 and 4. Like, that's absolutely realistic for Haywood for one more season at least. And then so much will change depending on where he ends up going over free agency. But I reckon there is a chance that he falls off maybe a little bit quicker than what Kemba Walker does. But we'll see. There is a chance that he also could push back to have a top 35 season at some point. I'm probably betting against that though at this stage for Gordon Haywood. Jaylen Brown, really, really massive improvement from Brown this year to become the 62nd ranked player. He'd never been a top 100 player before. Raptor was 1.8, PIPM 0.7, so they're not the greatest numbers, but a 58 true shooting and a usage of 25 is really strong. This is a guy that was at 22 usage the year before that and true shooting of under 55. So what he was able to do was impressive. When you go in and project guys and expect things from them, it's absolutely irrational to look at a guy and go, well, this player is going to improve his free throw percentage by 10 percentage points. That's what happened to Jaylen Brown. Brandon Ingram improved his by 20. They're big, big improvements, but you just don't expect leaps of that size to come out of nowhere. There's no reason to expect that. The other thing that Jaylen Brown did is he went from a player who was never able to generate steals to being able to get them in much higher numbers. Actually, maybe that's not fair because his steal rate per 36 is pretty similar. He just played an extra 10 minutes per game this season. Remember, Marcus Smart was the starter last year, not Jaylen Brown, as Brown played just 26 minutes. We saw Jaylen's numbers go really high. His three-point attempt rate went higher as well. He went from 3.7 a game to 6.2 per game. He's never going to be a high assist player, but he was also able to come in and improve his rebounding rate along with that three-point attempt rate and his scoring and his efficiency. So big, big leaps. A lot of it was driven by that huge jump in his free throw percentage. And as I mentioned earlier, in the playoffs, he was an 84% free throw shooter. And if that sticks, then the top 50 really is in play for Jaylen Brown. I'm not sure I trust it, given where he's been in his career. I'm looking at 17 games versus the 100-plus games he's played in his career. But he showed a steady improvement. I think he can still get better. And maybe he's a shot for the top 100 for this next season. Top 50. I'm not fully believing it. But he's going to be a popular fifth-round player to look at in drafts. In the playoffs, Jaylen Brown was the 61st ranked player. He averaged just under 20 points per game, but unfortunately, those numbers fell off. 43% from the field, 63% from the line. That is the worry there, and he's never going to be that high assist player. It's the real key to him is maintaining high efficiency and maybe grabbing some of that usage off Gordon Haywood and off Kemba Walker. Marcus Smart was the 64th ranked player, despite being absolutely really poor in terms of those shooting numbers. 38% from the field was a massive, massive negative, but he averaged 1.7 steals, almost 5 assists, 13 points, and hit as many threes per game as Jaylen Brown, 2.3 there, and is an 84% shooter from the line. So some real positive numbers, and in a punt field goal percentage build, he's a top 50 type player. And this is probably Smart's best fantasy season. In fact, it definitely is his best fantasy season. He played the most minutes he had in his career. It was his highest scoring season of his career as well. And he's always going to be useful for assists and for steals, and just plugging gaps wherever they may appear on this Celtics team. Starting point guard, starting shooting guard, starting small forward. Whoever gets injured, Marcus Smart comes in and plays minutes. But part of the reason that his minutes were high this year is because there were injuries all across the board. Haywood broke his hand, Walker had knee problems, and Smart would just come in and out. So there's a chance he doesn't play 33 minutes again next season, and maybe that goes down to 31. I still think that absolutely he's a top 100 guy for fantasy. You've got to deal with the field goal percentage, but assists and steals and threes and free throw percentage, they're all probably most likely going to be there in really good quantities for Smart. He's only 26 years of age as well. Feels like he's been around forever. He can continue to be this good for the next 3 or 4 years. And if instead of shooting 38%, he comes out and shoots 43%, Again, don't predict that, but if it happens, then the numbers go absolutely through the roof and he becomes a super, super valuable fantasy player. Don't discount him because he doesn't score much. He helps in a lot of areas, and 9 category fantasy or 8 category fantasy is 9 and 8 category for a reason, because every category is as important as the other one. So he's not scoring, but he's getting assists, he's getting steals, he's hitting threes, he's hitting free throws. That's a positive versus someone who, like an Andrew Wiggins, who scores 20 points per game and does nothing in any of the other areas. So Marcus Smart in that area is a much more valuable player. Vanilla Tice, the 110th ranked player. Tice averaged only 9 points per game, but 1.3 blocks and 57% from the field. That's why he was able to be a successful fantasy player. As I mentioned earlier, upside's pretty low for Tice, but reproducing what he did this season, maybe with a couple of extra minutes, I don't think that should be considered anything too crazy, and he could very easily do that. In the playoffs, Tice played 28 minutes a night. He was the 66th ranked player. Again, field goal percentage, blocks, and rebounds. That's what he did. And that's what he'll continue to do. That's where his value is. It's not going to change anytime soon. He is 28 years of age, probably got another year or so at this level, and then maybe the drop-off does come. Rob Williams, the Rock DJ, the 183rd ranked player in those limited minutes. Big Raptor, 3.1, big PIPM, true shooting of 73. We know what the story is with Williams. Give him minutes. 73 from the field is a monster number. 1.2 blocks in 13 minutes is huge. Give him 26 minutes a night, and he's a top 40 player. The problem is, you don't want to give him 26 minutes a night if you're a coach of a good team, which is exactly what Brad Stevens is with this Celtics squad. On a per 36 basis, Williams averaged 13 and 12 with 2.7 blocks on 73% shooting. They are really, really good numbers, but in terms of getting that amount of playing time, it's really tough. I can see him getting an extra 5 to 10 minutes this year, and that's going to make him a top 100 player. And I really do like him as a late round flyer at this point until we see exactly what goes down. But he could also just be shit at defense and not be able to play more than 10 or 12 minutes. And that's obviously going to have an impact on him. He was used situationally in the playoffs, didn't play in some rounds, played in other ones because matchups. Yeah, so Enes Kanter took on Joel Embiid, and then Rob Williams is more important in the season, in the series against Toronto. So it's mixing and matching where players' roles fit. And his block rate in the playoffs was down, only half a block a game, which is obviously way less than what it was during the regular season. And that's where his value is going to be. It's field goal percentage and it's blocks. So don't get you fooled by anything else. It's all about those. And we know that players often who have high block rates, when they start to play more minutes and as they get older in their career, that number comes down. So instead of being 2.7 blocks, 3 blocks per game, he might be at 1.6 or 1.8, and that drops a lot of his value down. So it's not just pure extrapolation for someone like Robert Williams. Enes Kanter, the 205th ranked player. Kanter is only 28 years of age as well. He played 17 minutes a night, 8 and 7 with 0.7 blocks, 57% shooting. Yeah, positive advanced numbers, 60 true shooting. He does have a player option for this year at $5 million. I think that he is a perfect backup center that you can go in the second unit, dominate those guys, grab offensive boards, one of the best offensive rebounders in the game, score efficiently, and you can hide his defensive weaknesses. But in terms of getting back to being a top 100 fantasy player, he needs 25 to 27 minutes, and I just don't think that's really ever coming again outside of injury, whether it's on this team or on another one. Kanter's role looks pretty solid as a backup center, but that's not going to do too much for me in terms of long-term appeal. Brad Wanamaker, 229th ranked player. He is a restricted free agent. I thought he was really impressive this season. The advanced stuff wouldn't necessarily tell you that, but 58% shooting for true shooting is pretty good. He averaged 7 points with 2.5 assists whenever he had to step up and play bigger minutes when Kemba would go down. I thought he impressed, but he's never going to be a great fantasy option. And at age 31 as a restricted free agent, the hopes for him ever being a top 150 player should be fairly minimal. Next up is Grant Williams, 358th ranked player. As a rookie, he averaged 3 points in 15 minutes with 3 boards, half a steal, half a block. So there is room for him to become a triple one player, to be a 14 and 8 player with a steal, a block, a 3, on strong percentages. He hit 72% of his attempts from the line. And as I said, just the 25% from three, but in the playoffs, that was up a significant amount to 56%. He's never going to be high usage. He had 11.6 usage. His usage was 9% in the playoffs. That's going to limit his overall upside. There are chances of top 150 finishes for Grant Williams. It's going to be a fair way away, though. I think he'll be a rotation piece for this Celtics team, but in a very, very limited role. Tremont Waters. I thought when he was given opportunities, Waters looked okay. He only got 11 games with the big team, and his Raptor was a negative 5.7 and true shooting 38%. But I saw something from him that made me look at him with much more excitement than I do, say, a Carson Edwards. In the G League, Waters played 34 minutes a night and averaged 18-7, two steals, 35% shooting from three on over seven attempts per game. That's what you want, a guy that's bombing threes, can be a defensive pest, and can set others up. I think there is a role for him in a couple of years' time to take over that backup point guard role and be a player like a Tyus Jones, a JJ Barea, a Jalen Brunson that you, if you need some assists and need some steals, need some threes, he's going to be a streamable type player. And then when he starts, he'll put up numbers, maybe like a Shake Milton even, that can come in and be really useful in that time and then fade back into backup type scenario. So I think they found something with Waters as a second round pick, and I do obviously like him a lot more than I like Carson Edwards. Taco Fall was the 407th ranked player. He played just 7 games and 5 minutes a night. It's really like Rob Williams, 79% from the field and 0.6 blocks. He's just too big to really have any long-term impact or large role in the NBA. He's a restricted free agent after his two-way deal. Even in the G League, he played just 23 minutes a night. He averaged 13-11 and blocked 3 shots. He shot 70% from the field. He's going to block shots. He's going to get a high field goal percentage. But it's a bit like Boban Marjanovic, he's just, except lower usage. He's just not going to be able to stay on the court. He also shot 38% from the line in the G League. I wouldn't be valuing Taco all that highly in dynasty-type formats. Javonte Green, a guy I didn't really expect to see play as much as he did. 50 games almost, 10 minutes a game, 3 points, 50% shooting. I don't really know what to make of Javonte Green as a player. He's 27 years of age. His advanced numbers aren't great. I don't think that he should be any sort of priority. It should be guys like Langford that they're prioritizing and Williams over him. And I wouldn't be expecting huge amounts out of him. I think the upside's pretty low. He's got $1.5 million non-guaranteed for this year. Maybe they guarantee that, but I wouldn't be banking on it at all. Actually, back to Tremont Waters. His G League PIPM was 2.77. Really, really big number. So that's something that's interesting to look at for me. Semi Ojeleye, 417th ranked player. A guy that can hold his own defensively on the perimeter. And he does have a team option for this year, which they can decline to make him a restricted free agent. But he is never, ever going to be a good fantasy player. Negative 1.8 Raptor, 56 true shooting, under 10 usage. He's a guy that they go out there, he eats minutes, he plays good defense, but he does nothing in terms of generating stats, and that is never going to change in my eyes. So any minute that he gets means more fantasy stats for everybody else. Vincent Poirier, the 439th ranked player. We didn't really see much out of Poirier this season. The French center, he's 27 years of age. He averaged 2-2 with half a block in his 6 minutes. Hard to see him having an NBA career moving forward. He's still under contract. He's going to be the third string center, maybe fourth string if they play Grant Williams at center. Really nothing to see here with Poirier, I don't think, as we move forward. Carson Edwards, 456th. Remember, he had that one game in preseason where he dropped 30 points in a quarter against the Cavs, I think it was, and people went bananas. He had some big games in Summer League, but honestly, he's not very good. Negative 5.1 Raptor, negative 3.63 PIPM, 44 true shooting. I thought he really struggled majority of the time. He played just 10 minutes a game, shot 33% from the field. He doesn't distribute, he doesn't defend. We gave him a little bit of a pass for his poor three-point shooting coming out of Purdue, saying, oh, well, he's having to take every shot. No one else is doing anything. And then he came in and shot 32% from three again. So maybe he's just a poor shot selection guy. In the G League, it was even worse. 28% from three on 9 attempts per game. He did score 22 points, but only 3 assists. Ugh. And shot 43% overall. Just some really, really yuck numbers from Carson Edwards. I do not believe in him long term. I would much rather have Tremont Waters. I could be really wrong on Edwards. Maybe he figures it out and becomes a solid backup point guard. I honestly just don't see it for him at all. And the last guy is Romeo Langford. It was never going to have a good fantasy profile coming into this season, despite being a lottery pick. His numbers out of Indiana would suggest that. His numbers for Boston would also confirm that. 12 minutes a game, 2 points, one rebound, half an assist, 0.2 steals, 35 and 72 is his percentages. Like, horrible numbers. 19% from three. Horrible. But I thought he defended really, really well. That's why he was able to get some playing time. Now, 43% true shooting is yuck. 12 usage is yuck. This is a guy that couldn't shoot in Indiana. We thought, is that his wrist problem? Maybe he just can't shoot as well. I think there is some chance that he can get better at that. He's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. He doesn't pass. And despite being a good defender, he's not someone that I look at as being able to generate good defensive numbers. He played only 24 minutes a game in the G League and only 7 games. He averaged 11 points. He shot 22% from three. So they're horrible numbers. But what should stand out to you is he blocked 1.6 shots per game. That is super interesting to me as a guard. And he is a guy that did have some good block numbers in the NBA and some decent enough block numbers at college level. That's maybe where he can get there. He can come in, maybe he hits 2 threes a game. 12 points, 0.9 blocks, maybe. I don't really see it for Langford. He's a long way away from being a contributor. And I don't think it's going to be this season. Maybe it's the year after, and maybe it's the year after that. And overall, I don't really buy his long-term fantasy upside. He's never going to be high usage, I don't think, or high assists, or high steals, or high efficiency. And they are the ingredients to a pretty poor fantasy recipe. That doesn't mean he can't be an impactful player with his ability to defend. But in terms of ability to contribute to a fantasy squad, I'm pretty doubtful of it with Romeo Langford. That'll do it today, guys, for the Boston Celtics show. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Leave a comment down below. Give me a thumbs up. And tomorrow's show, we are going to be looking at, from memory, it is the LA Clippers. Yes, it's the LA Clippers we're going to be looking at in tomorrow's show. So get your questions ready for the Clippers. Instagram, Patreon, on the Discord server, over on Twitter as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.